So this is the first week that we're going to speak about healing. And today we're speaking about the fact that God is willing and able to do what he has promised in his word to do. So that's my first point today. I'm going to look at the question, is God able? So Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says this, "Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do it superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." This is an amazing scripture. If you're struggling with anything, just take this scripture home, because it says, to him who is able. It is declaring that God is able. And not just to meet our basic needs, not just to put some cornflakes on the table in the morning and pay the gas bill, but he's able to do far over and above all that we ask, think, desire, hope, or dream. He's able to meet all of our needs and some on top of that. So why don't we see it? Why doesn't it feel like that a lot of the time? Why don't we see many healings and miracles today? Because it says here in verse 20 that it's by the power that is at work within us that he does it. By the power that is at work within us, he's able to carry out his purpose. God has the power. It's his power, but he has put it in us. He has chosen to work through us. So we have to believe it, and we have to speak it out of our mouths into our lives. So when we ask Jesus into our heart, he came by the power of his Holy Spirit to live in our spirit. So that power is already on the inside of us. So here's a question. What words are we speaking into our lives? What is it that's coming out of us? And usually it comes out in words. Are we speaking healing or are we speaking sickness? You know, so many times when I'm talking with people or I'm praying with people and I'm not getting on at anybody, but over the years, so many times when I'm talking with people, they'll say, oh, my back pain, my arthritis, my headaches. There's an ownership there. And I know that we don't mean it when we say that, but there is an ownership when we call it mine. And they claim the sickness for their own. They put their name to it. I want you to think about this. God can't take it away if we keep claiming it. It's really difficult to get rid of something. You can say, well, that's my migraine, and I've had them for 10 years, and I'm always going to have them. So if we keep putting our name to it, the enemy's just happy as Larry. Don't put your name to it. Just say, this thing that is attacking me is not mine, and I'm not having it. But don't claim it in Jesus' name. So are our words opening a door for God to work, or are they opening a door for the enemy to work? Is he the one that's rubbing his hands together because we've claimed that sickness? So here's a revelation today. God is able to work through our words, but we have to choose our words. We're responsible for what comes out of our mouths. God's able to do far over and above all we dare ask, think, desire, hope, or dream, it said. All of these things, but we need to believe it and we need to speak it. That's crucial to seeing the healing coming through. Don't speak the symptoms. Speak the word of God over the symptoms. No matter how long it takes to change them, don't give up speaking out the truth of God. Just a few weeks ago, a man walked into our church. Well, he barely walked into the church. He was leaning on someone else because he could hardly walk. He had a variety of problems. And after we'd prayed for him to ask Jesus into his heart, because that's what he wanted, which was wonderful, and we said to him, do you have any pain in your body? He said, I have pain in my liver, pain in my kidneys, and pain in my legs. So we said a really simple prayer. I didn't beg God to heal the man. I just commanded the pain to go in Jesus' name and released the power of God to heal and left it at that. And that was before the service. Then we went and had our normal service. So for about 45 minutes, we did the worship, we did communion, we did the word. And at the end of the service, this man who could barely walk in the door, held up by another man. So at the end of the service, he got out of his chair and all by himself walked right to the front and stood right in front of me with tears running down his face. He said, "I have a miracle. The pain is gone." It's wonderful to see the healing power of God move in people's lives. Folks, God does not have a magic wand. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is not magician of magicians. He has laws, spiritual laws and rules, and we must know what they are and how to cooperate with them. You cannot go against the laws of God. We need to work with them. We serve a powerful God who is able, but he works through us and our words. We don't need to beg. We need to release the power of God that is within us. This is what it says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 27. "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" First of all, it's saying there's nothing too hard for God. In other words, he is able. And second, it's saying, he's the God of all flesh. Not everything except your sore big toe. Not everything except your kidney. Not everything except that heart condition. Okay, he's the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for him. He's the God over the sickness attacking our flesh. Whatever's in our body. How is he the God of it? Well, it's so simple. It's in 1 Peter 2:24. When Jesus hung on the cross, it says, "By his wounds, you were healed." Now, I know I'm speaking to the converted here, but maybe what I'm also praying is that we'll get a revelation on this. I'm always asking God for revelation on whatever I'm speaking on. And you can get an increasing revelation on different scriptures. Jesus was wounded for us at the cross. He's already paid the price, so we don't have to. We're not supposed to carry that pain in our body. We're not supposed to live with that malfunction because Jesus has already paid for it, for all our sickness, once for all mankind. He even went before us into death itself. Ephesians 4 and verse 8 says, "He led captivity captive. He captured the very thing that's attacking us." Matthew Henry commentary says this, "He conquered those who had conquered us, such as sin, the devil, and death." That just about sums up everything attacking our flesh. Sin, the devil, and death. That just about sums it up. Well, Jesus conquered it. Everything that was trying to capture us, he captured it. And he broke the chains. We don't have to come under it anymore. So here's another revelation. The sickness attacking us is already conquered. Jesus beat it at the cross. We don't have to try and conquer it ourselves. It's a done deal. We just need to take the ticket that God's given us and redeem it. And just say, "I've got this ticket that says the price has been paid. Please can I have, not even please can I have, I'm having what's on offer." Okay? Let's look at Romans 4 and verse 19. And this scripture is talking about Abraham. I'm sure you know it really well. So Romans 4:19. "No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised." Wonderful. Not only is it saying he's able, but he's able and mighty. He's got the muscles to do this. Abraham, you know, all the odds were stacked completely against him and Sarah. Abraham's nearly 100, Sarah's nearly 90, and they do not have the child that they had been promised. But God had made a promise, and Abraham knew it, and he believed it. And I believe God has made a promise, and it's to heal us. But do we really believe it every single day, every minute of the day? Are we believing for that healing? Because, you know, when the symptoms come against you and the negative report from the doctor or the hospital comes against us, it is so hard to stand in that place of believing and not wavering, not doubtingly questioning. It says here, Abraham did not waver. He didn't doubtingly question the promise of God. Abraham was fully persuaded. What was he fully persuaded of? He was fully persuaded that God was able, completely able. Are we? It's okay sitting in church saying, yep, I believe that, Sandra. But when we get that negative report, do we really believe it? Are we really persuaded God is able? You know, he was able to heal then, and he's still able to heal today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is my first point, that God is able. This is my second point. Is God willing? Okay, so we're looking at a story in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, and it's a leper that comes to Jesus. And the leper came to him, begging him on his knees and saying to him, if you are willing, you are able to make me clean. And being moved with pity and sympathy and compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be made clean. Okay, so this sick man comes along to Jesus. Not only would he have been sick, he was probably completely penniless and destitute. Because once they had leprosy, they were put out of their family. He would have lost his job. He would have lost all of his friends, all of his loved ones. They lived outside the city wall in caves and makeshift dwellings and things like that. This man would have been poor and completely destitute. And he comes to Jesus, the Son of God. And this man, who owned nothing probably and was probably standing in rags, the pieces of his flesh falling off his body, he comes to Jesus and the first thing he declares is, you are able. Jesus, I know you're able. I know you're able. So this leper knew that Jesus was able. He'd had a revelation of God's power to heal. But he still had one question. And the question he had is this. Are you willing? I know you're able, but I'm not sure if you're willing. The question is, do we know that our God is able? Do we still need the revelation that the leper had? That he's able to do abundantly more than we ask? And do we know that he's willing? Because this man knew God was able, but he just wasn't sure if he was willing. Does that sound familiar to anyone? You know, we can sit there with all the Bible verses in front of us and all the things that we believe are fact and say, I know that Jesus healed then, I know he's the same today, and I know he's able to do this. I'm just not sure he wants to heal me. I'm just not sure that I am going to receive my healing. We know God can heal us, but perhaps we're not sure he will heal us. Well, this says in verse 41 that Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, Jesus had so much compassion, it moved him to hang on the cross. That's what held him to the cross. It wasn't the nails. He could have come down at any point. He was crucified for the compassion and the love in his heart. And he cannot be uncrucified. His payment for our healing is a done deal, paid in full. The King of Love didn't have a hard heart. He had a heart full of compassion. The King of Love didn't send sickness, and he doesn't send the sickness today. He sent his son to die for the sickness. He had compassion in Matthew 20 and verse 34 when he healed two blind men. I can't imagine what it would be like to be blind in those days, especially with no help, no aid, no money from the government, no carer, nothing. And in Matthew 9 and verse 36, it says he had compassion on the multitudes. And then again in Matthew 14, verse 14, he had compassion on the multitudes. Multitudes came and he had enough compassion for them, not just for one person. Then in Luke 7, verse 13, he raised the widow's only son back to life. He's just walking through the streets and this widow is there and her only son is on the stretcher dead. ready, taking them to be burned for their funeral. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession. Do you know how much trouble you'll get into if you stop a funeral? People like a good funeral. You'll get into a lot of trouble for stopping a funeral. He stopped the funeral, and it was her only son. The compassion poured out of him. This woman's now got nothing. She's a widow. She's no husband. This son would have been the one who earned the money for the household. She's got nothing. And his compassion stopped him, and he brought the boy back to life. Jesus' whole life and ministry was marked with compassion and healing. Even this leper, 2,000 years ago, knew that Jesus was able. But then he also discovered that Jesus was willing. It's all in that same scripture. Because in verse 41, back in Matthew chapter 1, the beggar says to him, I know you're able. I know you're able. I'm just not sure you're willing. And Jesus answers him in verse 41. He reached out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. That's so exciting. Your socks should be flying off. Jesus is able and he's willing. He's both of those things. He's both willing and able. In fact, Jesus was willing and able to heal everyone who came to him. Everyone who came to him. I'm just going to read a few scriptures where it shows that Jesus healed everyone who came. Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. It was the prophecy about Jesus. It's one of the reasons he came to earth, was to bear away our diseases and our infirmities. Matthew 4, verse 23, and he went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. So the report of him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and he healed them. Every single one of them. It was a sign the kingdom of God had come. People knew that Jesus was the Son of God because of the healings that he did. Healings and miracles are a sign that the kingdom of God is here. It is here. It's not our place to beg it to come down. It came down 2,000 years ago in the form of Jesus Christ, and it's never left. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12, verse 15. Many people joined and accompanied him, and he cured all of them. All of them. You can't get around it. Jesus healed every and all. He was willing and able. Both of those things. And then Jesus shared his ability with his disciples. So Matthew 10, verse 1 says this. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and all kinds of weaknesses and infirmity. Today, we're his disciples. Jesus had to give them a special empowerment because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. But when the Holy Spirit comes, and he's here now, and he lives on the inside of us, and he chooses to work through us. So Jesus has now given us the power and authority to drive out sickness and to cure all diseases. So are we using our authority? And are we using our God-given power? Now, just recently, I'm recording something in our living room, and I had a music stand just like this one. And this inner metal pole, which is really heavy and fairly solid metal, and about maybe 80 centimeters long. So I'm putting the music stand away, standing like this, unscrewing it, and the metal pole should not fall out the bottom, but it fell out the bottom. And it fell down from the height of about a meter onto my big toe. It was really painful. I felt shockwaves go through my body. I felt them go up my legs, through my stomach. I'm shouting on Neil. My first thought was, I'm going to throw up. I better bring the sick bucket. The second thought was, I'm going to faint. So I better sit down. So I was lying on the floor in complete agony with this toe. And I just got out the word of God, be healed in Jesus' name. And I just kept confessing, I will not lose the nail. I will not lose the nail. I will not lose the nails. I just kept confessing that. It was really sore. Just that shock. And I felt those shock waves. And I thought, I'm going to be sick. Then I actually started to hyperventilate a bit because I was, the shock was so much I could feel, and I had to stop myself from overbreathing. And so you get the picture. It was not a good hair day, okay? It was really, really painful. And I just prayed and prayed, and within 24 hours, all the pain was gone. I haven't lost a toenail. It's all shades of black and blue at the moment. I'm thinking it just has to grow out and let nature take its course. But there's not one bit of pain in there whatsoever, because I spoke the word of God over it. Matthew 10 verse 8 says this: cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Folks, it's not a request, it's a command. Jesus is telling us what to do with the power and authority that he's given us. He's commanding us to do our part. God didn't give us a begging bowl and a sign that says hungry and homeless. He gave us power and authority to command sickness to go in Jesus' name. But that power and authority is in us, and we are the ones that release it. There's nothing wrong with God's giver. It's our understanding of it that is the problem. We've already received his power. We need to know how to release it. God's done his part. He's given his all. Now, we need to do our part. We need to believe it, and we need to speak it out, and only then will we see it. God is able to heal, and God is willing to heal, but he told us in the very first scripture, he works through us. That's how he does it. I read this in my daily reading. The reason we don't turn to God more often is because at some basic and unconscious level, we are not fully convinced he is able and willing to move on our behalf. We're just not quite sure. And so sometimes it's not the first thing that we think to do. We need to be honest with ourselves. Some days we let in doubt and unbelief. I know I do. I do the same as everybody else. Unbelief is a huge battle, but it's an attack from the enemy, and it is all lies. And it's only the word of God that will bring it, that will counteract it and defeat it. The only way to overcome lies is by being fully persuaded by the truth. This is my last scripture today. Romans 8 and verse 38 says this: for I am persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's my question. What is impending and threatening in our lives right now? Because whatever's attacking us, it will not be able to separate us from the love of God or the power of God. We can be persuaded beyond doubt. We can be absolutely sure that our God is able to heal. I read this as well in my daily reading. Own the words, God is able. Otherwise, you won't be able to pray with confidence. You'll make a few wishes on your knees, but you won't be able to persevere in prayer until you know in your heart that God is able and that he's willing. Nothing is too difficult for him. So maybe it's something we need to say every day: my God is able, my God is able, my God is able. Whatever I'm facing today, my God is able. Turn to someone today and say, God is willing and able to heal. He is willing and he is able to heal. Maybe you need to write that beside the biscuit tin, put that beside the kettle, and say it daily and establish it as a truth in our lives. Wave upon wave of revelation about it. I'm hoping by the time we've finished 4 weeks on healing, there will be waves of revelation. I was reading a book recently, and a penny just dropped about something that I've been preaching on for years, perhaps. And I got a new, just the next rung on the ladder, the next revelation about that subject. And I was just like, wow. I'm telling Neil about it. I'm telling my daughter about it. I'm telling everybody about it. I've just got this next revelation. Just when you think you understand everything, God's got more. He's got more revelation about the next thing. We've always got something we can learn. We need to establish this truth. If we never establish the truth that God is willing and able, maybe we'll never see our healing. Folks, let's establish this truth today, that God is both willing and able to heal, and we can do it right now. So I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up.